And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is looking back, looking forward, and looking inward. Each of my guests is helping us sharpen our focus in the direction they think is important. My second guest is a futurist, but not just any futurist. He's the futurist Google hired to help them gaze into the future. He'll share 8 future technologies that will define the world in the coming decade. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you have a question for my guest, you can always call us at 639-0008. And keep that number handy, because we'll be giving away 2 sandwiches or 2 salads from an Urbane Cafe during this particular interview. My guest, Thomas Fry, is a futurist speaker and a visionary who is revolutionizing our thinking about the future. Tom is the executive director and senior futurist at the Da Vinci Institute. He works closely with the Institute's senior fellows and the board of visionaries to develop original research studies which enable him to speak on unusual topics. Because of his work inspiring inventors and other revolutionary thinkers, the Boulder Daily Camera referred to him as the father of invention. I bet that quote has Thomas Edison spinning in his grave. The Denver Post and the Seattle Post-Intelligencer has referred to him as the Dean of Futurists. Before launching the Da Vinci Institute, Tom spent 15 years at IBM as an engineer and a designer. Interestingly enough, Tom is a past member of the 999 Society. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it is a high IQ society with folks in the 99.9 percentile of human intelligence. Welcome to the show, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being our guest. Been looking forward to this, as I told you, for some time. So it's interesting, because you contend that the future is communicating with us, which implies that all we have to do is just be receptive and the future will come to us. And I guess my first question for you is this. Isn't that a little bit of anthropomorphizing the future? And what exactly do you mean when you say that the future is communicating with us?
Well, first of all, we're a very backward-looking society. We're backward-looking in that we've all personally experienced the past. When we look around us, we see evidence of the past everywhere we look. When we're looking at information, all information that we have today is essentially history. The past is very knowable, and yet we're going to be spending the rest of our lives in the future. So it's almost as if we're walking backwards into the future. My job as a futurist is to help turn people around, to give them some sense as to what the future holds. And so this idea of communicating with the future, what do we know about the future? Have you ever listened to the future? We don't think of the future in that respect. And so what do we know about the future? The future is constantly unfolding. It's relentless. It's going to happen whether we want it to or not. I mean, we can't just say, oh, I don't want to go into the future and stop it. That doesn't work. It's like this giant force of nature pulling us forward. And so the one phrase we like to use is that the future's in control. If your next project is not aligned with the wants, needs, and problems of the future, not of the present, not of the past, if it's not aligned with the wants, needs, and problems of the future, the future is going to kill it. And so how do we align ourselves with the future? We work on creating relationships with the future.
Well, I think that's interesting. I like that quote, and I've written it down. The future is in control. My guest is Tom Fry. We're talking about 8 future technologies that will define the world in the coming decade. And in futurist time, a decade's not very long at all. It is an interval of time. In fact, if you just look back at the last decade since 2001, here are just some of the things that we've experienced that we now take for granted. The iPod, the iPhone, the iPad, GPS, e-commerce, increased restrictions on our personal freedom because of terrorist attacks, financial market booms and busts, we've had 2 just in the past decade alone, and a national surplus turning into a giant national deficit. So you believe that there are 8 seminal technologies that will define the world in the next decade. What are they?
Okay, we put together this list of the 8 grand challenges. Now, these are not challenges that will happen within the next decade. These are the things, overarching things that will, if we can accomplish these things, these change everything. And so we've worked on that. And then we've also worked on other technologies that are imminent, with things that are going to change us in the near term. So would you prefer that we work on the near-term stuff or the long-term?
Let's take a look at the near-term stuff, because most of us are concerned with the near-term. Those of us listening to the listening audience are in business or you know, near and around business. So let's just take a look at the near-term if we can, Tom.
Okay. One of the things that's radically shifting around us is the proliferation of apps. Now, the apps are the mobile apps that are being developed. We forget how short of time span they've been in existence. It was just March of 2008 when Apple first announced the Software Developers Kit. And since that time, we have hundreds of thousands of them. We have a little over 800,000 mobile apps in existence right now. Sometime within the next couple months, that number will exceed 1 million. And then sometime next year, the number of mobile apps will exceed the number of books in print. Now, this is real interesting because books are an information product. Apps are an information product. The way we interact with them is different. But can an app be a book, and can a book be an app? The way we think about this is going to change rapidly in just the coming months even.
Wow, I mean, that's fascinating. There are over 3 million books in print. So you're saying by next year, 2012, there will be over 3 million apps that are out there. It's incredible proliferation in such a short amount of time.
Right, they're just coming out of the woodwork.
So what are some other trends that we should take a look at?
Well, the part of this that becomes real interesting is when we start looking at peripheral devices that work with the apps. Now, the peripheral devices... It's easy to talk about the medical field because there's so many of them happening there, but we can have blood pressure cuffs that work wirelessly with smartphones now, digital stethoscopes that work digitally with a smartphone, and they record all of your heartbeats, and digital EKG machines that record everything else, send it to the doctor if you want to. Ultrasound device. You can see your unborn baby on your smartphone without having to go to the doctor.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's incredible. But it begs the question, Tom, because this is a chicken and egg conundrum. Which came first, the peripheral devices that allowed apps to be written, or the apps that are written that now allow us to have better peripheral devices?
Well, that's a good question, because every peripheral device that comes into play existed in some form before, so now it becomes this wireless device that works with the smartphone. And as soon as that happens, then it opens up the doorway for thousands more apps to be created. So the original intent of that device suddenly morphs and changes into something radically different.
All right, now that's fascinating. My guest is Tom Fry. We're talking about 8 future technologies that will define the world in the coming decade. What are some other technologies that we should be aware of, Tom?
The average person today that turns 30 years old has had 11 different jobs in the United States. My prediction is that the average person that turns 30 years old just 10 years from now will have worked between 200 to 300 different projects. Now, we're becoming a much more project-based society, oriented around connecting the needs of the business with the talent of individuals in far more efficient fashions than ever in the past.
Well, now that's interesting too, Tom. So in that answer, excuse me, you're saying that the business structure that we know, the command and control structure of General Motors and IBM of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, is disappearing, and that we're going to have a more fluid, amorphous type of business where people come together for a project, and you might be working for IBM today, but 2 years from now you'll be working for Apple or perhaps Infosys or somebody like that.
Right. And if you think of the way the movie industry works, and it's worked this way for years, is that whenever there's a movie project that comes into play, it attracts writers and directors and actors and actresses, makeup people, camera guys. They all come together for that project. As soon as the project is over, everybody disbands and they form around another project. It's very organic in its nature.
Wow.
And if you look at everything happening in Washington, it doesn't matter if there's Democrats or Republicans in office, the cost of employment continues to go up. Employers, this is the one key thing that everybody forgets, is that employers have an obligation to hire the fewest number of people they can get away with. And so they don't have an obligation to hire lots of extra people. They're trying to survive. They have an obligation to hire the fewest number of people they can get away with. And rather than taking on extra headcount, it's far more efficient. Just hire somebody for 2 hours worth of work, or 2 days worth of work, or 2 weeks worth of work, rather than take on all of those extra obligations of hiring somebody. So that's shifting everything.
Well, and a big shift inherent in that, Tom, is the shift of responsibility. Because in the past, a paternalistic company, and I'm going to use your former alma mater, IBM, a paternalistic company took care of your pension, they took care of your health care needs, et cetera. If you are talking about the movie industry model, bringing people together and then letting them disband, it's pushing the all of those responsibilities onto the employee, or ultimately onto the government, to take care of health care, to take care of their 401k or their pension plan, isn't it?
Well, there's a new entity that comes into play here, because there's a lot of people that suddenly aren't good at lining up one project after another after another. And so we're projecting that there's going to be this entity called the business colony that comes into play. And the business colony is where people will work on similar projects. So it might be a photonics colony, or a biotech colony, or a nanotech colony, or a gamer colony. And so all the people work on this area of expertise. But as we've been working on this a little bit more, we've come to the conclusion that a lot of large corporations are going to start their own colonies outside of the corporate walls to experiment with things, to try things. And so they'll staff it with a project manager, and they'll essentially lob projects over the corporate walls into the colony, and then the talented people will run around and perform whatever work needs to be done and hand it back to the corporation.
Well, Tom, isn't that just nothing more than the Macintosh model, how Macintosh came out of Apple Computer when they were so focused in those days, 1970s and early 80s, on the Apple II, and they created a Skunk Works, I think was the term that was used at that time, to create the Macintosh. How is it different from a Skunk Works within a corporation?
It's very similar to that. What I see happening, though, is a lot of experimentation, people experimenting with different types of business models for how this can work. And whether it's a virtual operation or a hybrid, part virtual, part physical, or it's all in one physical facility, all of that's going to be played around with. And some jobs are going to work well in a colony environment, other ones will not. All of that is up for grabs right at the moment.
All right. My guest is Tom Fry. Now, Tom, you are a futurist. Can you gaze into the future and tell me who's going to win the sandwiches or the salads that I'm giving away from Urbane Cafe? I'll give those away to the third caller who call in at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Call in and win, and we'll get those certificates off to you. Now back to my guest. So, Tom, can you peer into the future and tell me who it is that's going to win those? But probably not. So if you can't do that, then let me ask you, what are some other trends we should keep our eyes on?
One of the things, we work on the process of elimination. So there's a really high probability that the person that's going to win is not named Seymour.
All right, we'll take that into event. The lines are ringing right now, so call in. And we'll find out if that prediction from Tom Fry is true.
Yeah, that's not a terribly useful prediction.
But what are some more useful predictions, Tom?
Well, the number of smartphone devices and the intelligence that we're putting into these devices is going to continue to escalate. And so then the devices are going to connect to themselves, and so there'll be a lot of communication between from one object to another object. And so it's what we call the Internet of Things, this whole connection of communication systems and intelligence. And so not all of the people in the nodes are going to be humans. In fact, very few of them are going to be human. So we'll have our dishwasher talking to our refrigerator, in our car talking to our furnace in our house, and things like that. So when we start working with that level of intelligence, then interesting other things start coming to light.
Such as, Tom?
We'll be able to create intelligence for our houses, the intelligence for our cars in ways that we never could in the past. As an example, if we have a truly intelligent car, the car gets to know me as I'm driving along. So I drive into a new city that I've never been to in the past. It will recommend, the car will recommend restaurants and cultural events and places to go and things to see. It will tell me where they can open parking spaces are. It'll tell me where the cheapest parking spaces are. And if I'm late for a meeting, as an example, it'll know where I'm at any given moment based on the GPS. It'll know who I'm meeting with and where they're located. And it will then contact them and let them know how long it'll be before I actually get there.
Wow.
All of this intelligence then starts talking to each other and makes people more efficient.
A little bit 1984 and Big Brother. My guest is Tom Fry. We're talking about 8 future technologies that will define the world in the coming decade. Now, Tom, you're also the author of a new book, which is titled Communicating with the Future. Tell me about a little bit about the book and some of the predictions and things you have in the book.
Yeah, the book is all about this relationship we have with the future. And can you talk to the future? Can you listen to the future? Can you control the future? And that's where it becomes real interesting, because we have some different processes in the book that allow us to help define our own future and add more levels of control to what we normally think is totally unpredictable.
All right. My guest is Tom Fry. He is a noted futurist. And Tom, you did make that one prediction that the winner of the sandwiches or the salads would not be named Seymour. And you want to listen to this man, because he's absolutely right. The winner was Marguerite. Marguerite, thank you so much for being a loyal listener. We'll get those certificates off to you as quickly as we possibly can. Back to you, Tom. So if people are interested about what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about your new book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the book you can find on Amazon.com, but if they go to futuristspeaker.com, you'd see some of the things I've written about, the different topics that we get into massive discussions on. And the operation of the Da Vinci Institute is all at DaVinciInstitute.com.
FuturistSpeaker.com or DaVinciInstitute.com. Tom, it has been a lot of fun. Thank you for peering into the future and giving us some insight of what's coming down the pike. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you very much.